Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Morning. Hey, very well.
Great.
Everybody's, our listening audience may very well be wondering.
COVID out.
You're COVID out? I was just going to ask, you know, how's the morale? Anybody want to share anything with our listening audience regarding your challenges amidst this COVID culture?
Today is much like yesterday and will be much like tomorrow.
That's pretty fair. I will tell my listening audience that I'm pretty proud of the men here at Neighbors of Hope's men's ministry, in the sense that the group, nobody's been choked. We haven't had any violent breakouts, these type of things. Morale seems to be pretty good, and I'm super proud of the fact that you guys recognize that you're staying sheltered is an act of loving your neighbor. And I know our staff in general is pretty pleased and proud of that. So keep up the good work. Mm-hmm. And to all of those listening to this edition of Word Made Flesh, it is our prayer that you are healthy and safe. That being said, usually on an annual basis, the curriculum that we use here with the men at Neighbors of Hope includes a study on what we call character matters. It's about character transformation. We've been looking at that for the past couple of weeks, and we're at a point where we look at Jesus confronting our deceitful hearts. Right? And we'll speak a little more of that as we get started. But the scripture text that we've chosen to address this subject matter does come from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 15, verses 10 through 20. So if someone would be so kind as to read that, I'd certainly appreciate it.
Yep. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know what the Pharisees that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them."
Okay. How about first impressions, first reactions? What jumps out at you? What's something you'd like to share?
Jesus was saying that external washings could not keep the Pharisees or anyone else thirsty clean.
In a nutshell, I would say that, with Jesus, God's kingdom breaking in, that the traditional Jewish moral law is somewhat insufficient in cleansing a deceitful heart.
But this was in the first century too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now in 2020, you can relate that to like the bad things come out of your mouth.
Yeah, in our studies, we were talking about that list at the end of the reading Mason shared with us. I describe it as these are things that just bubble up out of us, right? So we saw a glimpse of that when Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. You don't commit adultery, but you sure do lust. You do not commit murder, but you sure do hate. Now, so the law itself, is about adultery and murder. It doesn't help with what's inside of you and bubbles out, because what's inside of you and bubbles out is what reveals your true character. So if the law says, you know, the tradition of Jewish law, you know, don't commit adultery, don't murder, and you're not doing that, that's good. You're complying with the law. But you sure do lust and you sure do hate. So how clean are you? So does the law actually clean you? And in that first century, cleanliness was equated with holiness. The law, they believed, is what kept you clean, thus you were holy. Right? Well, here we have the inbreaking of God's kingdom revealed through Jesus. He's going, no, the moral law is a little deeper than that. All right? If you really want to participate in the eschatological reality of God's kingdom, you might want to work on some of that heart stuff. The stuff that bubbles out of you, the stuff inside of you.
Yeah, I think he's just saying, stop being, not, or, you know, think about you being literal. You're being very literal, and to just, you know, what you eat is what, you know, defines you, and if you're eating, so to speak, and, you know, he's talking about the Pharisees have conflicting, you know, whatever. He's just like, you know, you got to be what you need to be. You can't just, you know, be so confined, I guess.
Yeah, he does refer to the Pharisees, in a sense, the upholders of the Mosaic law, as being blind.
Yeah. And that's,
you may
honestly
think you know how to see because you're not murdering somebody, but you're actually blind because you still hate them.
This is one of the first times I've ever, like, read that. And he was kind of like, you know, it wasn't more so, you know, I'm spoon feeding. It was more of like, look, you know, kind of get a grip, kind of.
Yeah, and he is much.
And I hate to say it so. Like that, because again, it's like we talked about earlier, it's just a super controversial, I guess, mm-hmm. or, you know, mm-hmm. it hits people certain ways, but, like, yeah, that's one of the first times where I heard where he was like, look, like, this is you, this is your life, so.
Yeah, when we started this this particular study in our curriculum, we started out like, there are a lot of people who are rule followers, you gotta follow the rules. And there are other people that just want to be true to self. You know, it's like, hey, this is the way I am. I mean, Jesus loves me as I am. This is who I'm going to be. That's still selfish.
Yeah.
All right. And so Jesus offers us an alternative way that, in a sense, fulfills both. When we start recognizing what our truest identity is, then we'll be true to that, which is true to self. And in doing so, when we clean up our hearts, the center of our being, where all this ugly stuff bubbles out, so when we clean up hating people, we'll fulfill the law because we're not going to kill people because we don't hate them.
Yeah.
I think the one thing I thought about during the reading was, in our times right now, where a lot of this hate and anger bubbles up is on social media.
Ah, yeah.
It allows us a lot of times to be our actual true selves, where a lot of that inner crud comes out in social media, and you see that a lot of times people are just getting into these, you know, Facebook feuds, and they don't even see each other, and just this is going back and forth, and the way Jesus responds to a lot of the Facebook of the times, or the Pharisees coming at them, he'd be really good at Facebook feuds, because he always comes back with kindness, but he really can set people straight.
He does.
He'd be a bad one to get into a Facebook feud with, I guess.
The Facebook feuding Jesus. No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we see right now amidst this COVID culture, you know, there's kind of that group that's aligning themselves with following the rules. Right? We've got all these rules, these restrictions, and we talk about they're being relaxed and things. But some people are just, well, that's the rule. Mm-hmm. I'm going to follow that. Then you have others, right? They're kind of doing the protesting, whether that be at the various Capitol buildings or wherever, or just when they go grocery shopping. They're not necessarily, no. It's about me and my freedom, right? I need to be true to self, and so I need to be authentic to who I am.
He sets right?
And so you can see those two voices can easily have these type of feuds. Yeah. And yet I said Jesus offers a third way,
yeah.
Right? That it fulfills both.
He's defining, right? He's setting the precedent for the defining line that's defined between things being in a literal sense and things being in a realistic sense.
Yeah, particularly if we're going to be participants as image bearers and kingdom bringers in what Paul calls our eschatological, our end goal, right? The kingdom. If you're going to participate in this reality that Jesus is birthing, you got to change some things. And here, this is what Matthew's speaking about. You got to change your heart. You got to work on the center of your being, where all this stuff bubbles out of. Right? And that's hard work. Let's be honest. Right?
I think another point is just like you said in the first century and the 20th century now, it's to go back, love your neighbor, man. It's that simple. You know what I mean? If you can get the concept. I know the last 3 weeks, man, I've really been taking some time out, really been seeing where I'm at and really seeing where I want to go and do I really want to do Jesus? You know what I mean? I mean, that's the honest question. You know, and I have to say, yeah, because my life has been so much better. I just got to look back and see where I was at, you know, and what the love was given to me to help me, you know. I mean, but I think it is, we have to really, really, really focus on loving your neighbor. Because if you're loving your neighbor, then you're not just coasting, you know, you're I mean, that's what I'm seeing it now, you know what I mean? I'm taking that hatred and that dislike out of my heart for and brothers and, you know, all this, you know, I mean, it's just a part of life. But I think if we focus on that, like you have taught us or like we're taught, you know, so much easier.
Yeah, well, but yet it's hard, right? Let's be honest. I mean, willing the good of people we don't like. That's not always easy. However, if I work on the stuff that boils up inside of me on why I don't like them, how I think I'm better than them, this type of stuff, right? Then I will fulfill. I will be in a position to where my true character will fulfill loving them. Does that make sense? So therefore, the character work that, you know, I'm building these habits of the heart, these Christian virtues in our lives where our character matters, because it's in our character that becomes our second nature by really confronting all those bubbling up crud that allows us to fulfill what Jesus say the law is fulfilled in, loving God and loving neighbor. Mm-hmm. So we can't just take loving God and loving neighbor and turn it into a new law, thinking that somehow following that rule is automatic. Because you know what? You can love your neighbor and still hate them.
Yeah.
You can will their good and still hate them. Well, how's that any different? Like, well, you know, you don't commit adultery, but you sure do lust. Right? It's about what comes out of us. And so what we have to work on, cleansing our heart so that our heart becomes pure, as in the Beatitudes, pure of heart. Right? And the purity of heart is an overflowing, generous love. And yes, I don't know. I'm pretty sure every listener to this edition of Word Made Flesh would agree that, you know, that is hard work. Sure is simple, but it is hard.
But you know what, Pastor? I say, hey, Jesus can see me on the outside. I know darn well inside He can see how I'm feeling towards individual, towards myself, towards just life in general. And it's like a conscience with Him, like saying, man, there ain't no hiding from you, brother. You know, you're there in my life.
Yeah, and as we develop and as we grow in our discipleship, we get to a point where it's like, look, I don't want to hide from you anymore. I want to take all of this and put it on the table. You know, help me, right? Cleanse that heart. But let's be equally honest, you know. Well, here, I want you to take this, but this part right here, I want to keep. All right, that we do a lot of that too. And he's like, okay, my grace is sufficient. I'll be patient. I'll wait. And eventually we'll get to that too. All right? We can't just dump everything at one time and have a magic wand waved over it and we're just instantaneously transformed. Character development does not work that way. But like Paul says, being transformed through renewal of our mind. It's an invitation to transform our character. And our character is transformed when we begin, as Jesus says, to work on that which is in us. That comes out of us. Right? So that what comes out of us actually images, right, the Creator, right, and brings a truthful reality of the existence of the kingdom in our midst. Image bearers, kingdom bringers. Okay. All right, any closing thoughts, gentlemen? All right, everybody in the listening audience, if the men are shaking their heads, no.
Stay safe.
It's radio.
Stay healthy.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate all of your thoughts as always. And so until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our Women's and Children's Ministry Center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a neighbor of hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.